Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. It's great to be with you. It's great to pray with you. It's great to pray for you. And I want to invite you, first and foremost, leave your prayer intentions in the comments now as we begin this show so that we can all pray for one another. I'm going to bring you a special interview tonight that I did with somebody that you know and appreciate. But before I mention him and show you the interview, let's turn, as we always do, to Scripture. I want to go to the Psalms tonight. And let's pray from Psalm 63, an ardent longing for God. O God, you are my God, whom I seek. For you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts, like the earth, parched, lifeless, and without water. Thus I have gazed toward you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. For your love is greater than life. My lips shall speak your praise. Father, we come tonight together because we're praying for America. We believe in you. We are citizens of your kingdom. But we also believe in America as one of your greatest gifts to us. And we thank you for great leaders that you have given us, like President Donald Trump. We ask you to bless him, his family, and all his associates, and those, Lord, who made it possible for him to serve as president of these United States and accomplish the tremendous things that he did accomplish. Accomplishments, Lord, which we are committed to build on and defend and educate our children and grandchildren about. Bless us now as we discuss and pray about these important matters for the good of our country, the United States of America. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, you know, many people talk about it, the electoral miracle of 2016. What an incredible election it was. What a great night of victory it was when Hillary Clinton was set aside by Donald J. Trump and President Trump was elected. One of the people that was an architect of that victory is the man that I recently interviewed, and I want to share that interview with you tonight. Corey Lewandowski served for a time as the president's campaign manager, and really a great, great man. He understands Donald Trump. He helped America and is continuing to help America to understand him, and is continuing now, as we will see in this interview, to work for the America First agenda. Corey Lewandowski is somebody who has an important voice in this whole process and in this whole story of Donald J. Trump. So let's watch now the interview I did recently with him, and then we'll come back for some concluding prayer. Friends, Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to EndAbortion.tv. And it is really a pleasure tonight to be able to introduce you to somebody who has been at the forefront from day one in what has become the greatest political movement in American history. Of course, we talk about it all the time on these programs, how President Donald J. Trump continues to lead this movement to make and keep America great. And right from the start, by his side, was Mr. Corey Lewandowski. And I am just so happy to be able to welcome him today. Corey, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me and with our audience.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that warm introduction. You know, many, many years ago when we started this, a lot of people in politics told me I would never work in this business again and that I was on a fool's errand. And fast forward, and you look at what the Trump-Pence administration had the opportunity to do for the issue of life. The most forward-facing and pro-life administration in our nation's history. I was proud of that. I was proud to serve as the chairman of the Vice Presidential Selection Committee chose Mike Pence to be our running mate. And I can tell you, it's amazing how times have changed. In just a very few short months, we have seen the barrage of attacks on conservative and Christian values from this administration time and again. And so I think many of us long for the days of Donald Trump and Mike Pence back in the White House.
Oh, we absolutely do. And, you know, in terms of pro-life, I was among the national leaders, one of the first to start saying quickly into President Trump's term that this was indeed the most pro-life president we've ever had. It's one thing to talk about it, but he is absolutely absolutely broke all the records, broke all the expectations, and we were just delighted at that. So yes, you know, as far as President Trump's pro-life accomplishments, you know, we have been echoing that all through these years. We even established, Corey, a special website, prolifepresident.com. And along with the other pro-life leaders, I've been talking about how this is, in fact, the most pro-life president that we've ever had. And it kind of ties into one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Bill O'Reilly actually asked President Trump this not long ago. He said, why are you the most controversial president we've ever had? And President Trump kind of said, well, I'm not so sure that that's the case. And then he went on, of course, to talk about his tremendous record-breaking accomplishments. I think that the fact of those accomplishments is part of the answer to that question. When you're actually pushing back against the forces of evil, against the radical left, that in itself will make you controversial. And I think there's another element too, and I'd just like to get your perspective on this whole question. What has made him the most controversial president is simply the fact that he fights. It's one thing for a political leader to share our views, but it's something quite different, as you well know, for someone to really fight for them. And I think that fighting spirit has not only made this the greatest movement in American political history, but in fact has brought about all this unprecedented controversy. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Father, I think you're very right. And what the American people saw in Donald Trump was someone who went to Washington, D.C. and fulfilled the promises that he made. And that is so strange for people to see a politician make promises and actually follow through on them. And then when Donald Trump was maligned by the media and attacked by the left and called all the names that was unfair to call him, he pushed back and he called the media outlets out for the hypocrisy and the hypocrites that they are. And, you know, what we have seen now in the few short months is the love fest of Joe Biden. When you juxtapose that with the way they treated Donald Trump and his staff, you know, the fake Russia collusion narrative that they perpetuated for years, the fact that they said that Donald Trump allowed bounties on American soldiers' heads overseas, which we knew was not true. They said that there was tear gas used to clear Lafayette Park. Come to find out, of course, that was inaccurate. And of course, this notion that the Trump supporters took a fire extinguisher and bashed in the head of a police officer on the Capitol because it fit the narrative that they wanted, come to find out that also wasn't true. So what we've seen is Donald Trump has called out the media for the hypocrites that they are, pointed out their lies and their deception, and they've never been used to that. But we've also seen the American people have become very sophisticated. They no longer believe what they're hearing on TV. They're looking for alternative sources of information. And what they knew was under the Trump administration, America first didn't mean America alone. But what it did mean was it was okay to be proud to be an American, to stand for the flag and to kneel for God. And those are things that aren't truly Republican or Democrat ideals. Those are American ideals. And Donald Trump made them safe and okay to talk about again.
You know, this is one of the points I made also about how he has united. He's been a unifying factor. So many people say, oh, he's divisive. I think it's just the opposite. Because when you focus on our history, our true history, on our values, on our flag, on our anthem, on our national motto, on the values we really hold, and on our freedom, these are the things around which we can rally and unify. People talk, as you know, Biden and the Democrats, they have this false narrative about unity. We got to unify around something. It's got to be something concrete and specific. And I think also, I'd love to get your perspective on this. I think one of the reasons for President Trump's success, We use in the Catholic Church among the clergy, you know, the Pope always says to us, you know, you as pastors need to have the smell of the sheep on your clothing. In other words, you have to be rubbing shoulders with the people. You have to know them inside out. You've got to be among them, listen to them, and only then can you lead them. Now, if I'm reading Donald J. Trump correctly, this is a man who, whether it was in the construction sites that he oversaw, or whether it was with the generals in Iraq when as president, this is a man who knows how to go among the people, connect with them, and really listen to them. And I think that is one of the keys of his leadership. You were up close right from the beginning of his first campaign. Do you agree with that assessment?
You know, I do. And the reason I agree with it is because I've seen it time and again. Whether we always called Donald Trump the blue collar billionaire. He related to the plumbers and the pipe fitters and the electricians and the carpenters working at the job site just as easily, if not easier, than he related to the guys on Wall Street who never really accepted him as a peer of their own. And so Donald Trump as the blue collar billionaire is someone who is as comfortable working on a construction site as he was working his way with kings and queens. And truly, we always called him the boss. And everybody who got to know Donald Trump, whether they were elected officials of senators or congressmen, contemporaries, captains of industry, once they saw how Donald Trump led people, they called him the boss. And when you looked at Donald Trump's performance at the UN General Assembly, the other world leaders saw a leader who was head and shoulders above them, and they gravitated towards that. And that's very different than the way that Joe Biden is leading this country.
It certainly is. You know, Corey, in all of our broadcasts here at our studio, I have the picture that you see behind my shoulder of President Trump. And when I started having it there years ago, you know, some viewers would say, well, why do you have that picture of Donald Trump there? You know, and I always answered it this way. I said, if he weren't where he is, we wouldn't be where we are. And I was talking specifically about our ministry, Priests for Life, because we were one of the groups that had to fight against that HHS mandate that wanted us to include abortion and contraception in our health insurance plans for our employees. And he, of course, President Trump, was the one responsible for freeing us from that mandate after we had gone all the way up to the Supreme Court and the Obama-Biden administration wouldn't hear anything about our religious objections. This was not only the most pro-life president, but as you know, also the most pro-religious freedom president. And our ministry simply would not be able to have continued in many other ministries without his bold leadership. What are your thoughts in terms of how he has contributed to that great cause of religious freedom in America?
You know, Donald Trump is a man of action, and when he sees something that is not right, he fixes it. And in the case you just outlined, he knew that it was wrong that your employees would have to have their health care, which would cover abortions or cover contraception. And he said, it's not right, and we shouldn't do it, so let's fix it. You know, I have spent so much time with President Trump, and what I have seen is a man who understands the difference between right and wrong and how he can affect people's lives in a positive manner with the stroke of a pen, or fixing the ills of society by understanding and putting common sense approach to things. And so when it comes to religious freedom, Donald Trump understands that we're an amazing country and we're a melting pot and everybody has the right to have their own religious expressions, but we should not be penalizing members of the Catholic faith and forcing them to purchase things for healthcare because the government says it's a mandate. And Donald Trump was clear about that. Look, I'm a Catholic. I've been a Catholic my entire life. I've raised my family and my children Catholic. My mother was a Catholic. My aunt was a nun. I mean, you know, my grandmother was a devout Catholic. And so, you know, for us, this is a way of life. And there are many people who truly believe that it is only because of Donald Trump that we are able to have the religious freedoms we have today because of the work he did in a very short amount of time in those 4 years.
Corey, I want to make sure our audience knows about the books that you have authored. I have one of them here in my hand, Trump, America First. And I want to read a sentence from from this book and have you comment on it. You wrote, most people never get to see the president's soft side and big heart. We've been talking here about his fighting spirit, his accomplishments, but tell us more and give us some examples about this soft side and big heart that you were privileged to see.
Well, you know, during the presidential campaign, it's a grind. You're away from your family. You don't get to see your friends. And at one point during the 2016 campaign, I had been gone for probably 45 or 50 days straight. And the president said to me, Corey, you know, do you want to go home and see your family? And I said, sir, I just want to work. And he said, how about I do this? How about I send my airplane up to pick up your family and bring them down to Florida here so you can spend time with them? Let me call your wife and tell her how important it is, the work that you're doing, and how much we appreciate and what we're going to do to change this country. Now, he didn't need to do that. And the other thing that, you know, most people don't know is on almost every holiday, he'll call my home and he'll say Merry Christmas to my children or Happy Thanksgiving. He goes out of his way to express his gratitude and graciousness. And that's never reported. But the reason, you know, I have such loyalty to President Trump and the reason I have so much respect for what he's been able to achieve is because I know the man he is. I've seen him in private settings. He's magnanimous and gracious. He's kind and thoughtful. He's funny and self-deprecating. And so, you know, to be around someone like that in private and then to see how he's mined in public really makes me second guess the motivations of the media. And for me, I'm proud to call President Trump a friend and proud that I've had the chance to serve next to him in helping to make America great again in my own very small way.
You know, I have heard from so many others who, like you, are privileged to know him so well. Countless story after story about his kindness, about his, I think it's part of what we were saying before, the way he connects with people. This has been such a key to his success. Corey, tell us about your books. I know you've written, if I'm not mistaken, three major books. Is that right?
You know, I have. And the first book, if your listeners would love to read it, is the story of the 2016 campaign. It's a wild ride. It's called Donald Trump, Let Trump Be Trump. It's my favorite book right. that we've written. It's really the inside story of his rise to the presidency, from coming down that golden escalator all the way up and through Inauguration Day and beyond. And then the second book we wrote called Trump's Enemies. It's the inside story of the deep state and what they had done to try and prevent him from being successful. And then finally, we wrote the book Trump America First and outlined the policies in chapter by chapter of what he did to reform our systems, from the Supreme Court and the court system in general, to tax reform, to renegotiating Middle East peace, and holding China accountable because of their bad trade practices. So each of the books are very different. Let Trump Be Trump is a fun ride. It's a linear story. It starts with me meeting Donald Trump way back in April of 2014 and my ride with him all the way through, the first time I ever had the privilege to step into that amazing office called the Oval with him behind the Resolute desk, and what that experience is like for a kid growing up from Lowell, Massachusetts.
I want to really recommend these books and will certainly be continuing to promote them through all our channels. They really, really, I mean, I've been blessed by them immensely. A final question, Corey, and this is looking forward. President Trump has said in his in all his recent speeches, look, this is the greatest movement in American political history. And we have only just begun. There are people out there who want to think, oh, you know, the era of Trump is over and so forth. No, it has only just begun. We have been echoing that sentiment. We have been building on the momentum. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, I know there are many things going on. You know, now that that his term has completed, many different PACs and advocacy groups and other initiatives have been started. I know you've been involved in a lot of that directly. Give us a sense of what is going on now and what our viewers need to be doing to continue to grow this Make America Great Again movement.
Well, the president has asked me to chair his designated super PAC. That's the organization that can raise large sums of money to support his America First agenda. And what that agenda looks like going forward, it's called Make America Great Again Action. That's the name of the organization. I serve as the chairman of that on behalf of the president's team. And what our goal is to take back the House and the U.S. Senate in 2022. We'll play in 22 House races because we want to retire Nancy Pelosi and her liberal left ideas. We'll play in at least 5 U.S. Senate races because it's important to make sure Chuck Schumer is no longer the majority leader. And then there are 3 or 4 critical governor's races that we'll also be involved in. And our goal is to find America First candidates, to spend resources smartly and wisely in those districts, to make sure that we're sending people to elective office who are willing to fight for the right to stand for the flag and kneel for God. If we can't have those basic values in place, then I don't think you deserve to be in public office. So our goal of Make It Right Again Action is to find those candidates, to support them financially, to help them with their campaigns, and to use the resources of the Trump organization and the 75 million people who supported Donald Trump in the last election to change our country for the better, so that we can leave it better for our children and our grandchildren.
Corey, I proudly wear my MAGA hat, and including on many of these broadcasts. And I just want to say really sincerely that we owe a great debt of gratitude to you. We all know we have a great debt of gratitude to the president and the tremendous team, so many people whom you know and you know better than the rest of us. But we owe gratitude to a lot of people. But we owe a great deal of gratitude to you right from the beginning, the first campaign, managing that. That was the start. And what has happened to America and what will continue to happen, not only to America, but to the world, all the credit there. We give glory to God. We give thanks to the Lord. But it couldn't have happened without you and the people like you whom the president gathered around him. So I just want to say a real sincere thank you. And as we conclude, I'd like to offer you and our audience the Lord's blessing. But thanks so much for your insights and for being with us today.
Well, it's my privilege. And, lastly, let me just say, as I travel this country, people say to me, tell the president to keep fighting. And I say, keep praying for us because we need it. It's tough out there. So your prayers matter. And I'm grateful.
Absolutely. And so, friends, thanks for watching this important interview. And now may the Lord bless you, Corey, and your family and all your associates and friends. May the Lord bless all of you with his protection and his grace. And may he bless the greatest president our nation has had, Donald J. Trump, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Corey Lewandowski, thanks so much for being with us. And I hope we have the opportunity to do this again in the future. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Corey for his gracious time in giving me that interview, and I hope it has been an inspiration for you. Friends, thank you for leaving your own prayer intentions in the comments. Let's now join in prayer for one another. Lord, look with kindness on, first of all, on our country, on President Trump, on Corey Lewandowski and his family, on all the wonderful associates and members of the team that you assembled for President Trump, both in the campaigns and in the administration. Thank you, Lord, for all of us who are joined together for this program. And look kindly on our needs, whether they are needs of health, finances, relationships, decisions that need to be made, or just, Lord, overall the protection of ourselves and of our families. Bless us with strength going forward, and may we always serve you, your kingdom, and also our country well. We pray now for these intentions in the words Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here. Thanks for joining us. Follow me on social media, FR Frank Pavone. Follow Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. And thank you for your commitment to America. We will talk to you soon.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.